So tonight we've got Biblical Prophecy, part number 8. And for those of you who've been, well, basically everyone here who've listened to all 8 of them, in the beginning, the first one I said there was the Bible was made up of a lot of prophecy. Well, I think there's going to be part 10, 11 and 12 as well, so I don't know how many more parts there are, but there's a lot of prophecy in the Bible, amen. So tonight, Biblical Prophecy part 8, and we're going to look at the Great Tribulation. So we're there in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. I'm going to read from verse 15 down through to verse 31. So Matthew chapter 24 verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulations, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Let's pray and commit the service unto the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together, Lord, and we thank you again for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you reveal to us the future, Lord, of what's going to happen, Lord. I pray you help me tonight as I present this message. I pray, Lord, that people would be able to understand. And Lord, it's not about me, but it's about you, Lord. I pray that people would hear what you have to say to them, Lord. And Lord, we thank thee and praise thee in Jesus' name. Amen. The Great Tribulation is a period of terrible judgment that will occur before Christ's return. Last time we looked at the rapture, and we saw plainly from God's word that born-again believers in Christ will be taken out of this world before the tribulation. God promised removal in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. We saw that believers are not appointed to go through the time of God's wrath. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10 tells us, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Old Testament prophecy, the Great Tribulation is called the Day of God's Wrath. It's also referred to as the Day of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 20, it's called the Indignation of the Lord. In Isaiah 34 verse 8, it says the Day of the Lord's Vengeance. In Jeremiah chapter 25 verse 31, it says the Lord's controversy with the nations. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, it says, the time of Jacob's trouble. In Joel chapter 1, verse 15, a destruction from the Almighty. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 18, a day of the Lord's wrath. And Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, the great and dreadful day of the Lord. There are many, many major prophecies of the Great Tribulation in the Bible. And there is a lot of teaching about the Great Tribulation, but tonight we can only touch on a few for time's sake. Amen? So as I said, there's so much prophecy in the Bible, it's amazing. In Matthew chapter 24, Christ describes the major events that will occur during the tribulation. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3, the Lord's disciples asked him, what will be the sign of the coming and the end of the world? And beginning in verse 4, we will find Christ's reply. So if you're still in Matthew, you want to turn to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, so his disciples have just asked him, what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And in verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24 shows that the events of the Old Testament prophecy referring to the tribulation and the kingdom are literal events that are still in the future. And these things will occur at the end of the world, and they will occur immediately before Christ's return. Unlike the rapture, which could happen at any time, the Great Tribulation will be preceded by certain events. There are two divisions of the Great Tribulation prophecy. Christ divides the tribulation into two major parts, the first being the beginning of sorrows, and the second, the Great Tribulation. At the beginning of the 7 years, the Antichrist will make a false peace covenant with Israel. And it's probably at this time that the Jewish temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15 says the Antichrist will stand in the holy place. This tells us that the third temple will be built. The Antichrist will proclaim himself as God. As we have learned previously, all preparations for the third temple are complete, except for the temple itself. Based on extensive research, the Temple Institute in Israel have fashioned the priestly garments, the high priest's golden crown, the high priest's breastplate with his 12 precious stones inscribed with the names of the tribes of Israel, a copper laver, an incense altar, silver trumpets, gold and silver plated shofars, or shofars, harps, and many other things, and the menorah, which is the 7-branch candlestick, which has been made out of 43 kilos of pure gold. And in December 2007, the menorah, which is the candlestick, was moved to a location on the Western Wall Plaza across from the Temple Mount. And prior to that, it stood at the old Roman Cardo. The plan is to move the menorah ever closer to the Temple Mount itself and ultimately place it inside the third temple. The Temple Institute has constructed a full-scale model of the temple, covering over 25,000 square metres near the Dead Sea to use for training the priests. In July 2012, the Temple Institute published a video entitled, "The Children Are Ready." In Jewish tradition, the rebuilding of the temple is associated with the coming of the Messiah. So according to Rambam, the highest rabbinical authority, any Jew that starts rebuilding the temple is a potential Messiah. So by this tradition, it's simple to see how the Antichrist will be looked upon as the Messiah. And then, as we know, midway through the 7 years, the Antichrist will break this covenant and exalt himself as God. You don't have to turn there, but 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, that says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So that event, or this event, marks the beginning of the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15, Jesus calls this event the abomination of desolation. Revelation chapter 6 to chapter 19 describes the same period of time, which is the final week of Daniel's vision. And Revelation also divides the time period into 2 3.5 year periods. So during the first half of the tribulation, the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11 will preach for 3.5 years. So would you please turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 3. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 3. Revelation chapter 11 verse 3 says, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. Clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn into blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth, shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." Pretty amazing. Never before in history could kindreds and tongues and nations watch the same event simultaneously. In January 2019, which was, 6 months ago? There were 5.1 billion mobile phone users in the world. And that's just mobile phones, not all portable devices. What these two witnesses will do will be live streamed around the world. Revelation chapter 11 verse 10 says, "And they that dwelt upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth." The whole world will be watching God's plan unfold for them right before their very eyes, and they will still not repent. I was talking to Carl last week at work, those of us who attend prayer meeting, which is pretty much most of us here, know about him, we've prayed for him as a body of believers for his salvation. Amen? Last week he basically said to me that he can't believe in God because he can't see God. He didn't say those exact words, but basically that's what he meant. But as we see in Revelation, people won't even turn to God when he sends his two prophets preaching the gospel of the kingdom and prophesying and performing miracles. The gospel of the kingdom is the same message that John the Baptist and Jesus Christ preached. It is the message that the apostles were sent to preach during Christ's ministry to Israel. Matthew chapter 10 verse 7 says, "And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It is the message that the kingdom is about to be established on earth, and God commands that men repent and receive Jesus as Messiah and King. Jesus Christ is at the heart of the gospel of the kingdom. He is the only Saviour, and He is the only Lord. The gospel of the kingdom emphasizes the nearness of Christ's coming and the establishment of His kingdom. It will be preached during the tribulation by the two witnesses. They will announce the approaching kingdom and will be persecuted by the Antichrist. The whole world will be opposed to these preachers, and false teachers will make things even more confusing. Matthew chapter 24 tells us there will be many false teachers and false Christs. The problem of false teachers began during the days of the apostles and will increase throughout the church age, as evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So it's not surprising in this day that we see that most churches in the world do not hold to sound Bible doctrine. As for false Christs, they already existed in the earliest days of the churches, and Jesus warns in Matthew 24 that they will increase as the time of His return draws near. Today there are many, many false Christs. I'll just read a few. There is the Hindu New Age Christ. The Aquarian Gospel of Jesus, the Christ, for example, claims that Jesus learned wisdom from the gurus in India. There is the Islamic Christ named Isa, who is not the Son of God, and He did not die for man's sins, and He did not rise from the dead. There is a Roman Catholic Christ who is a wafer of consecrated bread and a helpless babe in Mary's arms. There is the Mormon Christ who is the spirit brother of Satan. There is the Jehovah's Witness Christ who is Michael the Archangel. There is the natural Christ of theological modernism who was not born of a virgin. There is the libertarian theology Christ who is a communist freedom fighter and a social justice hero. There is the shack Christ, who is a non-judgmental buddy who doesn't require repentance and doesn't put any obligations on people. There is the rock and roll party Christ of the Christian rock crowd. There is the ecology Christ, who is out to save the environment. There is the universalistic Christ, whose love is unconditional and therefore will be effective for the salvation of everybody. There is the contemplative Christ who is experienced by such practices as centering prayer and imagination prayer and repetition prayer. That's just a few. The number of false Christs has increased dramatically in the past 50 years. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus also warns about false miracles. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." When the Bible speaks of miracles at the end of the church age, it always refers to false miracles. We must not be deceived into thinking that miracles prove that something is of God. The devil can do miracles. As when the Egyptian musicians turned their rods into snakes. Jesus warned that the false Christianity will be so subtle that it will be capable of deceiving even the very elect. Paul gave a similar warning to the church at Corinth. You don't have to turn there, but 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says, But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. This means that we cannot trust our eyes or our feelings of our hearts. We can only trust God's infallible word. Amen? We must be vigilant and test everything by the Bible. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6 says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Wars, famine, pestilence, earthquakes. The beginning of sorrows. This describes the general course of the church age, particularly the last part of it. But there will be a dramatic increase in these things during the first half of the tribulation. 180 million people died in wars and atrocities in the 20th century. But this is mere child's play compared to the wars of the tribulation era. Between 6 and 8 million people starved to death in the Ukraine under Stalin's regime. 30 million people died of starvation in China under Mao's regime. The World Health Organization estimates that 4 million people starve to death every year under normal circumstances in these end times. And this will dramatically increase when the tribulation begins. Pestilence, which includes diseases and plagues. The AIDS epidemic that began in 1981 has killed 35 million people and decimated some parts of Africa, where there are now 14 million AIDS orphans. 3 million people die of malaria each year. The flu virus has killed approximately 600,000 people last year. Bacterial infections in hospitals kill hundreds of thousands annually, and deaths are on a sharp rise due to new strains of antibiotic-resistant bacterium. Pestilence, which also includes biological and chemical warfare. The Germans used it in World War I. The Japanese used it against the Chinese in World War II. Iraq used it against Iran in the 1980s. In Matthew 24, we see that pestilence will increase during the tribulation. The term pestilence is used more than 30 times by the prophets in the Old Testament. Matthew 24 also mentions earthquakes. More than 800,000 people have died in earthquakes in the first 17 years of this century, the 21st century, and more die annually. This phenomenon will also increase during the tribulation. In conclusion, the tribulation relates to Israel and the world, but not to the church. It is called the Lord's controversy with the nations and the time of the heathen. The church is not part of the nations. God has called us out from among the nations to be a special people for his name. The tribulation is also called the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob is not the father of the church. He is the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. In the book of Revelation, the church is not even seen on earth after chapter 3. The church will be raptured before the beginning of the tribulation. Amen? For church age saints, the coming of Christ can happen at any time. Therefore, it is not preceded by the signs described in Matthew 24 and in the book of Revelation. Otherwise, we would know exactly when Christ will return, because we could watch the signs unfold, beginning with the Antichrist's false peace accord with Israel. And then 7 years later, we would know that Christ would be returning. Matthew 24 is talking about the signs that precede the Lord's return in glory, not His return to catch away the church-age saints. God is going to judge the world. A quarter of the earth's population will die in warfare and associated famines in the beginning of the tribulation. Today, that would be 2 billion people. A third of the sea will be turned to blood, and a third of the ships destroyed. A third part of the waters will be made bitter. Demonic armies will torment and destroy men. One third of mankind will perish in one judgment. The Antichrist will force all men to worship him and kill those who refuse. Men will be scorched with the sun and gnaw their tongues for pain. A great earthquake will shake the world so terribly that the mountains will fall and the islands flee away. And great hailstones weighing about 45 kilos each will fall upon the earth. Christ will return immediately after the 7-year tribulation. If church age believers are looking for this return, there will be no imminence. We could simply wait until the Antichrist is revealed, and then we would know exactly when Christ would come. Christ's coming will be accompanied by signs in the heavens. Christ's return will be visible to the whole world. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "Every eye shall see him." In his first coming, Christ came in lowliness, born as a babe in a manger, living in the home of a carpenter and dying as a criminal. But when Christ comes again, he will come in the power and glory of the eternal Son of God. Amen? Christ's return will mark the end of the day of man. God will reign on earth and his law will be obeyed on pain of the rod of iron. Christ says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 33, "So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors."